Today's gospel reading will be Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And then the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The word of God for the people of God. Please be seated. A pastor was taking kids in a discipleship class around a sanctuary that had scenes from the Bible in the stained glass windows. And so he was asking these children during this class what each of the scenes was about. So of course they came to a scene that depicted Adam and Eve in the garden, and one of the kids said, "That's Adam and Eve at the creation of the world." So good job. Well, then they went to another window. They saw Moses leading the people through the wilderness. They said, "That's Moses. Just left Egypt, they're going to the promised land." Good job, kids, they knew what was going on. And then they continued on, they found some New Testament passage. There was one of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And the kid said, "Oh, that's the one where Jesus takes the two loaves and the fish and is able to feed everybody." And of course, the pastor went on to talk about some of the meanings behind these passages. So for instance, with the passage of the fish and the loaves, Jesus was able to say, you know, even when we don't have enough, Jesus can provide for us. Jesus multiplies our blessings. Jesus feeds us. So they were able to talk about some of those things. And then they got to the stained glass window with an image such as the one you'll see up on the screen. And the pastor said, "What's going on here?" And immediately one of the children said, "That's the one where Jesus runs a preschool." That is kind of how we treat this passage, isn't it? Let the little children come to Jesus' daycare. It's kind of how we think about it. We like the superficial interpretations of the passages of Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. Interpreting this passage is basically saying, be kind to the children, receive the children. That's an accurate way to interpret the scripture. We sometimes interpret it as be like children, have a Christ-like or have a childlike faith when approaching the throne of grace. That's okay too. Neither interpretation is out of bounds, but what I've learned over the years is that when Jesus says something, Jesus usually means something way deeper than I can possibly comprehend with a superficial reading. Jesus is calling us to something much deeper, something subversive, something bold, maybe even something that turns our world upside down. We just finished a series on the Ten Commandments. We spent 10 weeks on one chapter of the Bible. Well, guess what? We're about to spend 4 weeks on one chapter of the Bible, Mark chapter 10. We're calling this series the Upside Down Kingdom because in this chapter of Mark, we learn about some of the inverse principles we are to live by as people of faith. That following Jesus isn't simply always a straightforward, easy, go-with-the-flow kind of faith. Jesus calls us to something much deeper, something much bolder, something more subversive that calls into question society's standards and the cultural norms that we find around us. So you can mark it in your Bible the next 4 weeks. Every time we will return to Mark chapter 10, which is one of the most revolutionary chapters in the Bible. Yes, some of the writings that we will study may have that level of superficial meaning, that there's nothing wrong with that, but Jesus is often calling us to something even deeper. And so on this particular Sunday, we read of this common passage. Jesus blesses the little children. And we ask, what could be inverted or upside down about that? What is it about loving children that is revolutionary? What is it about loving or accepting or receiving children that is bold? Well, part of that asks us to return to the original context through which this passage was written. Of course, the passage begins with the little children coming unto Jesus or coming up to Jesus, and of course, the ones who are keeping them at bay are who? The disciples. They're the ones who said, no, stay away. Or your translation may say the disciples rebuked them or they spoke to them sternly. And quite frankly, that's probably because the disciples were doing what they were supposed to do as good citizens of the world. Because at that time, children were the lowest of the low. Children had no value. Children were basically regarded as property. So at this time, of course, Caesar, the Roman government, would have been at the very top of the chain. You move down a little bit, of course, you can have senators and those who serve the Roman government directly. Then we get into this murky territory where the Roman government had struck some deals with and were very much cozy with the religious leaders of the day. Yes, the Jewish leaders, they had an arrangement that as long as the people following the Jewish faith didn't cause too much of a stir, didn't interrupt the status quo, well, that'd be just fine. Yeah, they can have their religion, just as long as they don't bother the status quo or, heaven forbid, rattle the foundations of the Roman culture. Of course, then we move to the nuclear family. Fathers were the highest regarded person in the household, and then came women, and then came slaves who were of a lower status. And then finally, there were children. No rights. Children had no rights. They were almost treated as commodities. The only thing children really mattered for was that they would eventually be heirs, perhaps, to the family's riches or fortunes or wealth. And so at the time, children were of no value. Children that were born out of wedlock or were sick or disabled were especially problematic. In fact, they would be kicked out of their household and orphaned because they really had no place amongst the ordered world. So the disciples were doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing. They were serving their master Jesus, and here came the lowest of the lows, and like good Roman citizens, they were saying, Jesus doesn't have time for this. Jesus is a rabbi. Jesus is a teacher. He doesn't have time for the kids. And so Jesus, in one bold stroke, turned the Roman establishment and flipped it on its head and spoke truth about the coming kingdom through the image of a little child. Jesus said, "The kingdom belongs to these children and those like them. And anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like them will not inherit it." We read Jesus' words and say, "Well, that's, once again, that's nice, Jesus. You care for the children. We'll try to do the same." Now, Jesus is saying something much more profound here. Jesus, in this passage, is saying something that is almost as offensive to the status quo as some of his other bolder sayings that we regard as revolutionary. Love your enemy, turn the other cheek. We say those are bold words of Jesus. Well, love the little children, accept them, treat them kindly, accept them into your presence is just as revolutionary as some of his other statements. It's a challenging read for us who aren't especially familiar with the context of the day. In fact, we read this in a couple of perhaps short-sighted ways. We sometimes make the child the subject of the passage. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom like a child. So we say, anyone who doesn't approach the kingdom of God in a childlike way will not inherit it. That's probably not what Jesus was saying. Yes, there is value to approaching the throne of grace like a child, voicing our dependence on God, voicing our dependence on Jesus. But Jesus was saying something much deeper than that, I think. Jesus was saying, anyone who will not receive the kingdom as I am receiving these children into my arms will not inherit it. And so Jesus, in many ways, was making himself the subject. saying, if you're not like me, and you don't accept these children, or the least of these among us, into your embrace, you will not accept the kingdom that is coming. Yeah, Jesus was talking to his disciples. It's a general instruction, but Jesus was speaking directly to his disciples who had decided in the moment they were going to follow the way of the world. But Jesus said, no, that's not how it's going to be with me. Jesus saying, these children are of value. It's time to flip this world upside down in receiving the kingdom of God, so we're going to receive them, Jesus said. And of course, he brings them into his arms, he embraces them, and he blesses them. Now at that point, of course, the reading is legit. Jesus is making the point that the children are the least of these among us, and so we must embrace them in our presence. But in an even bigger sense, Jesus is opening the door to something quite revolutionary and upside down. Jesus is ultimately saying, don't just tolerate the least of these in our society, celebrate them. Accept them in your midst. Children, don't tolerate them. Celebrate them. Embrace them. The homeless, don't tolerate them. Embrace them. Accept them. Celebrate their presence in your midst. Those who are sick, those who need healing, those who are disabled, those who are cast aside, don't just tolerate them or accommodate them. Accept them and bless them. When you do that, you will receive the kingdom. Once again, this was revolutionary because children were not meant to be celebrated. They were in many ways cast aside as much as humanly possible. This weekend, we had a big birthday bash for Maggie, who just turned 5. Thank you for your birthday wishes on Facebook and in other ways. But she received a celebration. Of course, she received some presents such as a Razor scooter, a unicorn that pulls Barbies in a something carriage, I don't know. Family came in, my in-laws are here, some of her cousins came in, which she said just made it the best birthday possible. She was able to play with her cousins all weekend, which was wonderful. She got gifts from extended family out of town, things like that. We had birthday pancakes, cake, visited an apple orchard, all those great things. We celebrated her 5th birthday. It was a reminder for her that we love her and we celebrate her. It's also a reminder to the adults in the room that 5 years ago, God blessed us immensely with a child. 2,000 years ago, the concept of a children's birthday party would have been completely foreign and unacceptable. In fact, you really don't have to go back 2,000 years. The idea of celebrating children is a fairly recent phenomenon. The idea that children bring value to our lives is relatively recent. For a long time, children were simply seen as commodities. Once again, they were heirs that would eventually inherit what we had. Yeah, when they got old enough, they could work the farm or work the family business. For a long time, children were not celebrated because they were a gift from God. Jesus is saying, if you truly want to live in this kingdom, you'll embrace the children. You'll embrace the poor, the homeless, the mentally ill, the sick, the refugee, and so on and so on. Anyone who society has disregarded, you will embrace in the kingdom of God. Once again, I ask you, First Baptist Church, for those who are least among us, do you choose to tolerate them or do you embrace them? Do you celebrate them or do you say, well, I'll interact if I have to? This passage is a reminder that just because you're a disciple does not mean that you can't have something flat wrong, doesn't it? This passage is a reminder to us that just because you're a follower of Jesus doesn't mean that you haven't flipped your world upside down enough yet, doesn't it? The disciples were walking alongside him, hearing his ministry day by day, and they still didn't get it. The book of Mark is often regarded as a book of action. The stories of Jesus' healing and teaching kind of happen like this. It's one of the fastest books to read. We don't have these long, drawn-out passages such as the book of John. There's not a lot of theological exposition in the book. It's just Jesus doing. Jesus going from here to there, here to there, here to there. But it's also a book that, if you look at it closely enough, and I think this was an intent of the author, shows us just how often the disciples got it painstakingly wrong. They got it wrong in this passage, and if you move through the book of Mark and you flip the pages, you'll see the disciples are just not getting it. Which is comfort to us, I think, in this room, that if Jesus' disciples had a hard time getting the picture, well, there's grace extended to us as well. But it's also a reminder that, yeah, we're going to get it wrong too. We're going to completely miss the truth of the kingdom at times. Do you still maintain that sense of openness that Jesus can still flip your world upside down? Christians aren't likely to admit that they may have something completely wrong when it comes to biblical interpretation or the theology that we hold. We say, well, it was taught to be by my parents or my children or youth minister growing up, and that's how I learned it, and that's straight from God's mouth to my heart. I know. But the disciples who spent day in and day out with Jesus had some things flat wrong. And so my question to you as we consider the next few weeks how our worlds are going to be turned upside down by the presence of Jesus, there's a necessary starting point that you may have something wrong about the way you're viewing the world around you. You may be going off of and operating under society's standards for how you're supposed to treat the least of these among us. And Jesus says, no, there's something completely flipped upside down when you follow me and when you inherit this kingdom. So my challenge to you is to become a prophetic agent of change. And I say prophetic because it's going to ruffle the feathers of the establishment. It's going to feel off. It's going to feel upside down. That's kind of the point. Jesus placed his hands on children and blessed them. A completely subversive, bold, political statement. How often do we bless those who are least among us? James chapter 3 says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself has no works, is dead. Now we can talk a good game all we want. We can talk the talk. Walking the walk is completely different. We can all proclaim with 100% clarity, we support and pray for the marginalized among us. But Jesus showed us that it is until we invite them and embrace them in our presence, until we spend time with them, allocate our resources for them, advocate for them, and I would even say, yes, even vote for them, that we have not truly embraced the kingdom. First Baptist Church, as part of our vision moving forward, we've decided that two areas we're going to focus on are caring for children and ministry to children, and also offering ministry and mission to those who are elderly among us. I commend you for finding and discerning two of the most neglected people in our world today. That really dates back to the time of Jesus. The elderly, the widowed, the neglected children among us. Both advocated for in the scripture. And so I look forward that in the coming days, we will continue to hone our focus, to sharpen our focus on how we can embrace children and how we can embrace the elderly among us. You'll hear more about it in the coming weeks and months as our visioning team brings it to the congregation down the road. We'll be thinking about concrete steps we can take to do that. But for now, I simply ask you to continue to pray and discern how we will embrace the least of these among us, specifically children who are in need and elders who are in need, how we will embrace them. Not entertain them, not give them what they want, but in Jesus' name, give them what they need and embrace them. The days of toleration and accommodation are over. Let's seek in the name of Jesus to embrace and to bless those who society has cast aside. And let's begin flipping this church upside down. Let's pray together.